This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, May 27th, 2018, Trinity Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
To you it was shown that you might know that the Lord is God. There is no other beside him. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. This is Trinity Sunday. The Trinity can be an overwhelming, and I mean overwhelming in a sense that's so overwhelming that we don't particularly pay attention to it. This doctrine of God in three persons and one essence. Overwhelming, but absolutely necessary. Absolutely necessary for your salvation to believe in God in Trinity of persons and in unity of essence. It should not be some ethereal concept, churchy talk. Should not be the way we end our prayers in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It is tremendously a practical doctrine. It is a doctrine that should make you feel special. By special, I mean that there are billions, I mean that with a B, billions of people on the face of this planet who believe in a God that they can understand, a God in oneness. God will not have us understand him in the way we can figure it out. We must accept him in the way that he presents himself. That first reading today, God emphasizes with the people of Israel, when he gives them the Ten Commandments, he emphasizes them the joy that they should feel in being special, in being chosen to understand him, who he is, to understand his will for their lives. He writes it down for them in the Ten Commandments. And he says, to you it is shown, you might know that the Lord is God, and there is no other beside him. When we understand that God reveals to us, and this is why you sit here today, and you're not here, there, or another place, he has called you into his Catholic Church, into his Trinitarian being. You're not sitting in a building. You are sitting here in the body of Christ, that Christ who is a triune being. He has shown his favor upon you by letting you believe that. To believe that in faith. And make no mistake whatsoever, it is not just churchy talk. It is something that you must believe to get into heaven. That is not me saying those words. Those are the words of the creed of your church, the Athanasian Creed, a creed that is as equal to the Apostles' or the Nicene Creed that we hear all the time. Every Trinity Sunday that comes up, I point out that it is a necessity that we know the Athanasian Creed, just as we are to know the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed. And I don't mean to memorize it. I mean to just know what it says. I'm not going to go through it today at length. But suffice it to say, it starts out like this. Whoever will be saved, before all things, it is necessary that he hold the Catholic faith, which faith, except everyone do keep whole and undefiled, without doubt, he shall perish everlastingly. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship God, one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity. And then it goes on to, in as best we can in human terms, try to get our heads around this Trinity and unity. And after it describes this Trinity, it says, "He therefore that will be saved must think thus of the Trinity." And the whole creed winds up with the statement, "This is the Catholic faith, which except a man believe faithfully, he cannot be saved." That is the creed of your church. They are out in the narthex. I beg, if you are one of the several that usually come up after every Trinity Sunday Mass and say, "I've been a Catholic for 50 years and I've never heard that creed," that is to your detriment. It is not your fault that you haven't heard it, but it is to your detriment. The Trinity is not an ethereal concept that we sit around contemplating our theological navels and trying to get our heads around it. It is a matter of heaven and hell to believe in the Trinity. And as opposed to being overwhelmed by it, you should feel great joy because God has called you to hear it and to believe it. And notice it just doesn't leave it with belief, like, okay, that's what they say in church, okay, I'm good with it. It says in that last statement of the creed, you must believe it faithfully. Just like when God gave the commandments, he revealed his will to his people and he told them how special they should feel about knowing his will. How much more should we appreciate the fact that he just hasn't given us his will to understand, but he has showed himself to us as he is. And to not understand him as he is to have an idol. The revelation of the Trinity should elicit the same feelings within us that the ancient people of Israel felt when they got the Ten Commandments. They knew the commandments before, but God wanted there to be no doubt. What do you mean they know the commandments? When Cain slew Abel, God said, "Where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper?" He didn't say, "I killed him. He made me mad." He knew it was wrong. He knew it was wrong and he tried to hide it because he knew the killing was wrong. We by nature know that we should not steal one from another. We should not covet one another's good. But God, he doesn't want us to try to have to figure things out. That's how much he loves you. "This is what I expect of you as my people." How much more should we be joyous of him revealing himself to us as he really is? He provides us the truth of the Trinity to guide us into who he really is. The words that he says about his commandments apply even more to the Trinity. "Know therefore this day, and lay it on your heart, that the Lord God in heaven above and on earth beneath, there is no other." Why does he tack that on when he gives the Ten Commandments? What does that have to do with anything? It has to do with the fact that everybody around his chosen people believed in a God of this grove of trees, a God of this mountain, the God of fire, the God of the wind, the God of the sea. He says, they can believe that trash all they want. I'm the God who is in heaven and in earth, and there is no other. So the next time when you're admonishing someone that they need to return to Mass, you're admonishing them to the fact that they need to be Catholic. When you're rebuking them for their sin and they respond with that ever so oft, my God wouldn't, you are exactly correct, sir or ma'am. That is your God, a God you have formulated in your own mind to conform with the way you live your life. It is not the God of heaven. Other world religion, Well, they're good because they believe in a monotheistic God. They don't believe in a triune God. And God says that that's not good enough. I am God. There is no other. I have presented myself to you in Trinity. And for you to say, is to call me a liar. It is a different God. We live in a day when there are a lot of folks, including clerics, who will look at our catechism and say, oh, no, these people are okay. These people, they don't believe in the Trinity. I am not standing here and saying for one moment that the catechism is wrong. That interpretation of the catechism is heretical. Because the catechism cannot contradict the dogma of our faith that is the Athanasian Creed. You must believe in a Trinitarian God to go to heaven. Period. It's emphasized. We cannot make a God up in our own minds. We need to believe it because he says it. That's why we believe that the Eucharist is what it is. I mean, we can sit around in classrooms and I can go on and on about philosophy and Thomistic presentations about transubstantiation, everything. Why do we believe that bread and wine become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior? Because Jesus Christ says so. That should be enough. When our Lord Jesus Christ said, baptize them in the name, singular, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that is explicit. And to say that God is not what Jesus Christ presents there is to call him a liar. Well, they just don't get it. The pagans of old didn't get that there wasn't a God. You know, he's not a God of fire. He's not a God of the sea. He's not a God of the wind. They didn't get that either, but God wasn't good with that. He is not good with you not believing that he's a Trinity. I don't mean you. I mean anyone. It is what gets you into heaven. And this is where it gets practical. It's not an abstraction. Oh, it's just so much talk, one and three and three. What I do. The scriptures tell us that our God is incomprehensible. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He looks at us and goes, to use our terms, you're not going to get me. We shouldn't. The minute you think you do, he's not God anymore. He's not God. Just because you don't get it. Newsflash, I don't get it. The Pope doesn't get it. We can't explain Trinity. We're not supposed to. That's why he's presented himself that way, to prove that he's God. He talked to me about a God who's one. I can explain that all day long. And all I have to do with that is say, he's God, he's by himself, and I got to follow his rules, and that'll get me into heaven. That's not our faith. Your faith is you get to heaven because you are an adopted son or child of God. You are an heir of God and a co-heir with Jesus Christ. It's not an abstraction. The Trinity actually concretizes our faith. It makes it real. It actually makes us able to explain things like, as it is termed in theology, divine filiation, being a son or a daughter of God. If there's no Trinity, that cannot happen. Because God the Father sends his Son to die for your sins, denied by the other monotheistic religions. And a Son dies for your sins and ascends into heaven after his resurrection, and then he sends the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, that makes us sons and daughters of God and co-heirs with his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. It cannot happen without a Trinity. God just doesn't throw out a rule and say, okay, if you do this, do that, do that, I adopt you as my son or my daughter. He doesn't do that. He can't do that. He's God, and we don't relate to him that way. We have to relate to him through his incarnate Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and sends the Holy Spirit, which is infused to us in our baptism. This should be tremendously exciting for you to know that you, of all the billions of people who are very religious, who believe in one God, and you know something different about him, because you have been chosen to know him in all his fullness. Now, being an adopted son or daughter of God, there is inherent responsibilities in that. After he gives the commandments, he says, keep these precepts and commandments. Notice he just doesn't say, hey, I gave you some commandments, now you got to do them. You got to keep the precepts and commandments. Our Lord Jesus Christ gives us the Great Commission. He says, go therefore and teach all nations everything that I have commanded you. Not the things that won't offend them, not the things that make them feel warm and fuzzy. You need to teach them all things that I have commanded you. We've got to keep his commandments. We've got to keep his precepts. We've got to keep the commission that he's given us in going to live a life that draws people closer to him. Doesn't mean knocking on doors and handing out pamphlets. It means living a life that is commensurate with your faith. It means living a life that makes, when people look at you to see the way you live your life, make that attractive to them and they want it. That's the Great Commission. Because you are heirs of God and co-heirs of Jesus Christ. You know what? We love that. We love thinking about being heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, period. Unfortunately, there's not a period at the end of that. That you are heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided you suffer with him. We hear suffer with him, we think, oh, when I hurt, or oh, when I'm sick. You know what the biggest suffering is? Is whittling away the attractions of this world. Our Lord Jesus Christ, as we're reading Hebrews, was tempted in every way as we are, yet he did not sin. He expects that of us. It wasn't easy for him, Satan tempting. You haven't eaten for 40 days. You're God. Turn these stones into bread. Can you imagine the temptation? Because you know what? He could have done it. And he did. We have to suffer with him, or we are not heirs of God and fellow heirs of Christ. There are a lot of responsibility there, and it can be overwhelming. I can't do that stuff. That's right, you cannot. But the Holy Spirit that indwells you, the third member of this Trinity, he can direct you and strengthen you and guide you to do these things. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ, when he gives his apostles that commission, you know what it's going to cost his apostles? Their heads, literally. They're going to be killed in the most horrible ways to fulfill this commission he gives them. And he knows that they know it's going to be hard. And he looks at them and says, I am with you always until the end of the age. He doesn't mean in your memory of what he did. He means literally, I am with you. He is in us by virtue of our baptism. He is sealed and strengthened with us by virtue of our confirmation. We are strengthened by his presence with the presence of the Holy Spirit and receiving within ourselves the body, blood, soul, the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. At every Mass we attend, he is literally with us always to the end of the age, and he cannot be with us if he's not a Trinity. The only way that we can understand our salvation is to understand the Trinity. And by understanding, I don't mean getting it. I mean to faithfully believe. Because to faithfully believe that means that we are truly sons and daughters of God, and it should be so exciting for us to understand that he's called us into his triune being, in the body of his Catholic Church, in order to live a life that fulfills this great commission. We cannot understand it without the Trinity. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.